What's up, everybody? God is good. He's good. And he's in a good mood, right? I like hearing that. Joshua 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning. There's something about early morning things. I don't know what, I heard Mario Murillo say, I don't know what it is that God likes about 3 o'clock in the morning. But Mario got awakened when he had just enrolled in Shasta County Community College in Redding, California. He just graduated from high school with a 1.9 GPA. He gets up there, starts college. He just got born again. Didn't know much about the gifts of the Spirit, but he found a verse that said, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right. And he said, God, if we're going to do this college thing, I've got to have a sound mind. I've got to have a disciplined mind. So he said, I laid my hands on my head and I said, thank you, God. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah. And he raised a GPA. He got a 3.8. And then God, before I think even his first semester, God said, quit college and go to Berkeley. Quit college and go to Berkeley. And Mario said, no. He woke him up at 3 in the morning. And he said, what do you want, God? And he said, I want you to quit school and go to Berkeley. And Mario said, no. All these riots and protests going on in the late 60s, early 70s. I don't want to go to Berkeley. So for 3 days, Mario had a severe headache, severe back pains, and a stomach problem for 3 days because he kept telling God no. And he drove an hour to a Bible study in Chico, California. I think it was Chico. He walks in. I think it was a Lutheran Bible study. But back then, the Holy Ghost was invading everybody. It was the Jesus Revolution. He walks in, and there's a minister at the front. He walks in. He didn't know much about the gifts of the Spirit, but Mario walks in. And the leader of the Bible study goes, someone here has a headache, a backache, and a stomachache, and it's because you've told God no. Wow. And Mario said, well, that sounds really familiar. What a coincidence. And he said, we're not proceeding until whoever that is stands up. And Mario says, okay, it's me. And he says, young man, where has God called you? He said, Berkeley. And he said, the look on that man's face was astonished as mine. From the words of knowledge, when I said Berkeley, I think they were both frightened for each other because it was a pretty violent campus. And the man said, young man, I am the leader of Chi Alpha at UC Berkeley. We're going to go to Redding. We're going to get your stuff. You're enrolling. You're going to unenroll out of college. And I'm going to take you to Berkeley tonight. And they got there. And Mario said, we got there at 2 or 3 in the morning. I mean, they went from Bible study to Mario's place to Berkeley. And that's about 4 hours from Redding to the Bay Area. And he said, he put me up in a tool shed. That's where he got put up in there. And God started a revolution. And at one of his first Bible studies there, Mario said, they brought a guy in with a coma. He was in a drug-induced coma. He shot, I think it was PCP, into the back of his knee. And it went straight in the system and sent him into shock. And some brand new Christians brought him and said, Mario, look, we've got someone who's almost dead. Isn't that awesome? And Mario goes, what are you guys doing? What are we going to do? And Mario said, I didn't know what to do. He said, you know, compared to the worship that we have modern in some circles, he said, what we had then was a Bic lighter compared to a nuclear bomb that some of y'all have these days. He said, but God still invaded. And that guy on the back row got raised up, became sober in the middle of the meeting, and got saved and became one of Mario's right-hand men. But he said, you know, we'd walk around the campus and we'd say, Jesus loves you. And people would throw stuff at us. They'd hit us. They'd push us into the bushes. We'd just tell them, Jesus loves you and God has a plan for your life. And he said, God, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep doing this. Do something, God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost invaded Mario's life. And instead of coming up to people and saying Jesus loves you and leaving it at that, the Holy Ghost started speaking through Mario and telling people details about their life that nobody else knew. And they were getting saved because no one else could have known that but God. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and the Holy Ghost is on standby for those who will wait upon him and beg for him to take them over, to possess them. God does not care what you can or cannot do. Are you available? Are you willing to look like a moron to society now, only to have the last laugh later? Because God is not mocked. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you wake up at 3 a.m. to seek the face of God, he will not let you be mocked. Because you're seeking him. You will reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap life everlasting. And that starts now. Everybody just pray in the Holy Ghost. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing the ark of the covenant, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. Go after it. Go after the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant is what is represents the presence of God. The distinguishing factor is the presence of God. That's why the Philistines wanted the Ark, because they know when the Ark showed up, they lost. That's why the devil wants to rip you off from the glory of God in your life. He wants you to compromise. Because if he can do that, he's got you. You are ineffective, rendered ineffective. You might still go to heaven, but you're not going to bring anybody with you. You're not going to bring the crowds and the stadium full of people that God wants you to bring. Amen. Hallelujah. Go after it. Go after it. But you've got to be able to recognize it in order to go after it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You've not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. That's your job. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. That's not arrogance. Saying, I'm set apart for God. That's not arrogance. That's not pride. That's not arrogance and pride. That's humbling yourself before the Lord your God, and he will lift you up in due time. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Mysteries. That's why they called the people of God who went hardcore after God and got great results, they called them the mystics, because they pressed into the mysteries of God. They weren't mainstream. We don't need mainstream. The mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. The bride of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. Edify means in the Greek to build a house, to erect a building, to build up from the foundation, to restore by building, to rebuild, to repair, to found, to establish, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, edify. Affection, grace, and virtue, holiness, and blessedness. You know, I heard somebody say holiness is just all of the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit in operation. Holiness, that's what it is. It ain't not going to bowling alleys and not watching movies and not wearing makeup and all that jazz that they used to think. It's not about that. It's all the fruit of the Spirit in operation at once. That's holiness. Hallelujah. Edify, prophesy, edify. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to read these scriptures and we're going to tie all this together, but this is a word from God for us. I was rudely awakened somewhat yesterday morning by the Lord because I said, I'm not going to set my alarm, God. If you want me to get up early, wake me up. And 4 o'clock came around and I said, is that you? And he said, yeah, it's me. And I got up and this flowed out. And it was a prophetic word. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Notice it doesn't say for everything, give thanks. It says in everything, give thanks. We don't give thanks for the bad things we go through. In the midst of those things, we give thanks because we know there is victory in the midst. Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Everybody say, despise not prophesyings.
Despise not prophesyings.
Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, I love this. Faithful is he that calleth you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The first epistle unto the Thessalonians was written from Athens. The word despise. Despise not prophesyings. In the Greek means to make no account, to make of no account, to despise utterly, to feel contempt or a deep repugnance for. How many of you love when a man of God or woman of God comes to town and you go to the service where they're going to be and they point at you and they say, hey, stand, come here, thus saith the Lord. And they give you a word from God. How many of you love that? I mean, your blood just goes crazy in your veins, right? You're like, thank you, God, I needed that, right? It's a shot in the arm. Some people don't feel that way. But how do you feel about that word 6 months later? Right. Do you even remember the word 6 months later? Did you write it down? Did you record it?
Right.
Did you mark your date down in your Bible when God spoke that to you? Write it down. Yeah. My Bible says write it down. That you can run when you read it. The Word of God puts fuel in your bosom so you can run with it. Yeah. It's fire shut up in your bones, the Word of God is. Yeah. How we treat the prophetic Word of God is so important.
Yes, that's right.
Despise not prophesyings. And that, we know if we're despising them by how we treat them.
Right.
for the long haul. Because sometimes it ain't going to happen tonight.
Right.
Sometimes it's going to happen in 25 years. Ask Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, faith is not linear. Faith is vertical. And we can pull into the future things reserved for a future day. And I believe that with all my heart. But Abraham is the father of my faith, the Bible says. And it said it took him 25 years for the promise to come to fruition. Are we willing to wait 25 years and not blaspheme the character and nature of God when we have to wait? Is God still good when it didn't happen the way I wanted it to? Is God still good when it didn't happen on my clock?
Yes.
Right. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If everything happened immediately, when would you have time to doubt in your heart?
Right.
That's good.
That is probably, I've heard theologians say that is the most teaching Jesus ever did in one section of verse on faith. And he said, shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. He knew that sometimes there's a waiting time.
Yeah.
He's ordering things in your favor. Sometimes we've got a Jonah on the other side of your promise who's in the belly of a whale struggling with God. Berkeley had a Mario who was struggling with God for 3 days. And finally he surrendered to the power and will of God. And Berkeley was changed. Thank God. 1 Timothy 1, 18. Despise not prophesying. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them. By what? By the prophecies. That thou by the prophecies might war a good warfare.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a Hallmark card quote.
Right.
These prophecies that gave you warm fuzzies are weapons.
Yeah.
By which you may wage a good warfare.
Amen.
A good warfare. A good war is something we win.
Uh-huh.
But you got to fight. There are times we wait. Ask Jehoshaphat. The prophet came and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God with you. And David said, shall we stay or shall we go? God said, take, go, fight. It ain't some formula.
Right.
It's the presence. What's God's presence telling you?
Right.
It ain't some formula. Our eyes are on him. Our eyes are on him. Our eyes are on him. There are times when we can't wait for the promise of God. 6 months, 6 years. If the guys in the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee had to wait 6 months, they would have been dead. That storm would have killed them. Hallelujah. What's God saying? What's God saying? What's God saying? He who has an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. War, a good warfare. Thank you, Jesus. When the fulfillment of the promise is delayed, we are tempted. Oh, let's keep reading. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Holding faith. Everybody just kind of in front of you. Put your hand in front of you and grip and say, holding faith. And your other hand, stick that out and say, and a good conscience. Hold faith and a good conscience with some having put away. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. What? Shipwreck. Paul knew something about shipwrecks. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. What? that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay, what does letting go of faith and a good conscience have to do with shipwreck and blaspheme? When you are in the middle of a fight for your faith, and you let it go because it didn't happen on your timetable, and you judge God unfair, and you give in to resentment, you give in to anger, you give in to frustration, you give in to despair, you give in to depression, you have moved away from the center line, and you're in the ditch, and you have shipwrecked your faith. You hold on to faith. You hold on to a good conscience because God created you with a conscience so that it's your spirit, man, so you can hear God. Yes. And you know what's right. And that ain't right to let go of your faith. We don't judge God by human experience. Yes. You want your faith to be challenged? Watch some Catherine Kuhlman videos. You want your faith to be challenged? Watch some Mario Murillo videos or some T.L. Osborne videos or some Oral Roberts videos. We want to wake up a generation, you guys. Yeah. Last Saturday was Catherine Kuhlman's 40th anniversary of her homegoing. That's 40 years in the Bible as a generation. Many people don't even know who she is. The people who God healed through her ministry know who she is. Right, yeah. The wheelchairs that are vacant today know who she is. Right, yeah. I heard just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading an article about her homegoing, and there was a journalist who went up to Pittsburgh where Catherine Kuhlman had restarted her ministry at, I think it was a Lutheran or a Presbyterian church up there. And she would have meetings there, and they would pack it out. They'd show up for hours in line, sick people in lines. And this journalist went to the pastor of that church. I don't think he was the pastor during that era. But she just went to go ask him questions and say, this is the place where this lady, Catherine Kuhlman, had jump-started her ministry the second time. And God really took it off there. I mean, it just took off. And he said, you know, it's really interesting. He said, every week we have people come from all over the world asking to see if we can find the pulpit where Catherine Kuhlman started and preached. He said, just last week, this lady who was just identified as prophetess so-and-so showed up and said, can I just stay here in front in this room where Catherine Kuhlman preached and the presence of God filled this place? Can I just stay in here? And he said, sure. And she was there 3 days and three nights. She didn't leave that place. She was prostrate before the Lord in front of that sanctuary where she was. For 3 days, she didn't move. People, that's hunger. That's somebody who's pregnant, who wants to give birth. That's somebody who wants to give birth to great things in their life for God. Somebody who has availed himself for God to conceive something impossible in them. That's hunger. That's hunger. When the fulfillment of the promise is delayed, we are tempted to let go of faith and yield to fear, doubt, and unbelief, which is bad, right, Pastor Easy? We don't let go. We don't give in to fear, doubt, and unbelief, do we? It leads to anger, frustration, resentment toward God, and violates the character and nature of God, which always leads to shipwreck. It's a downward spiral. War, a good warfare. 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That hit somebody. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. What? That was given thee by prophecy. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Don't diversify yourself. Give yourself wholly to them, to the gifts, to the calling. Give yourself wholly to the calling, that thy profiting may appear to all. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord says this is the birthing place. The Lord says this is the birthing place. It was kind of funny because at 4 a.m, you kind of, you know, you hear things. And I was like, Williams Trace is the birthing place. This is Williams Trace, right? This is the birthing place. In the birthing place, there are stirrups. Get stirred up. Position yourself to give birth to the things of God in your life. Get stirred up. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6. Says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The phrase stir up is the Greek enatsaporio. It means to kindle up, to inflame one's mind. Strength and zeal. This is the one time this word is used in the Bible. Enatsaporio. Pyro, fire. Stir up the gift of God. Have you ever seen anybody on fire just standing there? No, they're like trying to put themselves out. They're rolling on the ground. They used to get the shakes 200 years ago. That's why they called them Quakers, man. They just stand there and quake under the glory of God. Anybody saw the Brownsville revival videos? There was one girl named Allison Ward, I think was her name. And she would just stand there and shake under the power of God. And whenever the power of God would kind of lift a little bit, she'd be fine. This is some preppy girl from college with a lot of friends, a popular girl. And God did that. God came on her, and that's what happened. Stir up the gift of God. This is the one time this word is used in the Bible, and it's in reference to your gift of God that's in you. In Exodus 3:2, when Moses was alone in the wilderness, doing the mundane, in obscurity, God had his number. The fire of God was the distinguishing factor on Moses, to burn yet not burn out. You become what you behold. Moses beheld a burning bush that was not burnt out. Right. You keep your eyes on God, you will not burn out. My dad told me a long time ago, he said, the reason people burn out is because they're doing more than God called them to do. Right. What has God called you to do? Yeah. Jesus. And do it with all your heart. Stop diversifying. From within the flame of fire, God called Moses to burn for him without becoming burnt out. In 1 Kings 18:24, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel in a face-off with the false prophets of Baal, the fire of God was the distinguishing factor. And in Acts 2, when the 120 diehards, you know, it started with 500. Hundred and twenty left. I call them the diehards. They were in the upper room. And the tongues of fire that sat upon each of them was the distinguishing factor. A burning heart will always find for itself a flaming tongue. The fire of God is what distinguishes you. Not your pedigree. Not your bank account. Not your scripture memorization.
Right.
The fire of God. Those things are good. But the fire of God is what distinguishes our calling, is what distinguishes our gift. Stir up the gift of God which is in you and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, I was in my locker room at the gym. And I was putting my stuff in my locker and get ready to go work out. And there was this guy at the sink, and he had his phone out, and he's playing loud music through his phone, and it was a radio station, and it was a commercial. It was a Sterling McCall commercial on his phone. And I went to go wash my hands, and all of a sudden, it kicked into some horrible, horrible music. I mean, I've worked in a broker shop, and I've heard it all. But you know what? I had just gotten out of my car in a prayer meeting in my car. And I come into that locker room, and I just said, Jesus, 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 help us, God. And I started praying in tongues out loud. Not because I'm offended, but because God is offended. When you do it because God is offended, not your political persuasions, not your denominational bylaws, but Jesus is broken because of what's happening. It's righteous. I don't do that every day. But let me tell you, I was around the corner when it happened. And right when I did that and I started praying in tongues out loud, that music stopped. I don't know if that guy, I mean, he knew better. I don't know if his auntie or his mama or his grandma took him to church growing up, but he knew better. And he knew what was going on there. But there were 30 guys in that locker room. Crazy stuff, man. But you never know what God is telling you to do.
Right.
You never know why he's telling you to do it.
Right.
See, if you get all the junk out of your life and you hear God say, pray in tongues, say the name of Jesus out loud. I mean, there cannot be a delay.
Right.
There cannot be a delay. There can't be a, well, what will they think? There cannot be any of that.
Right.
There cannot be any of that. You don't know what you're praying in tongues.
Right.
But it's the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
To God be the glory. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the birthing place. Intimacy. Stirrups and intimacy. Not everyone is welcome in the birthing place. Only those who played a role in conception and only those who are involved in the delivery. Intimacy continues in the birthing place. Love is what brought you to the birthing room.
Yes.
The love of God is what brought you to the promises. God loves you is why you got that prophetic word. The love of God birthed it in you. And the love of God continues in the birthing room. It's never all about the promise. It's always about him.
Right.
We're holding his hand. He's walking us through. It's of him. It's by him. It's to him. It's through him. In him we live and move and have our being. It's all about him. If it becomes about the promise, you fall in the ditch. If it's all about him, you're okay. You'll always walk on water when your eyes are on him. Love is what brought us to the birthing room, and love is what brings us through the birthing room. God does not drop dreams in our hearts and then abandon us. He is Emmanuel. God with us. He lives in us. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, one of the most loved men England ever had. His brother Charles. Prolific songwriters. Preachers. They had a club when they were in college called the Holy Club. Anybody remember the name George Whitefield? Preacher in Georgia, America, USA, back in the 1700s, 1800s. He was a member of their Holy Club. Those three were, can you imagine those three in one room? And John Wesley's dying words. And best of all, God is with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not leading him. He's leading me.
Yes.
Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If we follow him, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Oh God, you're worthy. You are awesome, mighty God. You are awesome. He does not make us try to figure everything out. In fact, God invites us to ask him for wisdom. He invites us to come boldly before his throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Nothing is final when we have a Father who loves us.
Right.
Nothing is final when we have a Father who loves us. Nothing we face is impossible when Emmanuel is in us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Song of Songs 1:2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Song of Songs 1:4 says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Love is the ultimate reason we serve God. We love you, Lord. Just tell him right now where you're at. I love you, Lord. Oh, God, I love you more than life. I love you, God. Love is the ultimate reason we serve God. God calls us because he is in pursuit of relationship. He is in pursuit of partnership. Stirrups, intimacy, and finally focus. This is the birthing place. This is the birthing place. This is the birthing place. Stirrups, intimacy, and focus. The focus of the birthing place is the crowning of the head. Not the baby nursery. Not the ride home from the hospital. Not the college fund. But the crowning of the head. How many of you know when we see Jesus, the first thing we're going to do is fall at his feet and crown him with many crowns. We are going to crown the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. He is worthy. Who wants crowns? Who wants crowns to put at Jesus' feet? Who wants crowns to lay before him? Souls. Souls. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for thine inheritance. We want souls. We want souls. We want souls. You know why I want to see healings? Because souls.
Yes.
Every time people got healed in the New Testament, souls were saved.
Yes.
Souls were saved.
Yes.
Souls were saved. That's why I want God to use me to heal people.
Yes,
he's the one who heals them.
Amen.
But we're the vessel his power flows through. Hallelujah. Catherine Kuhlman said, don't ever call me a faith healer. I've never healed anyone. You betcha. Colossians 1:18 says, and Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We are giving birth to the kingdom of God, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, to the promises of Almighty God, through the Holy Spirit, into the natural realm, over territories, over regions, over circumstances contrary to the plan, will, and purposes of God. His kingdom has the preeminence, which means superiority. Which means the fact of surpassing all others. Jesus Christ is King. How many of you love David Hogan? I mean, that guy goes into the jaws of hell and pulls souls out. And one of his favorite sayings is, Jesus is King. And he is. And as we crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the rule and reign of his word takes preeminence in our world and in our lives. And in closing, Isaiah 66:9 says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? This is the birthing place. Look around you. These people, we are pregnant with the things of God. This is the birthing place. Pastors Easy and Lena are mighty men and women, mighty man and mighty woman of God. Spiritual mother, spiritual father to so many of us. I mean, if you're down, just call Pastor Lena. She will edify you. She will encourage you. She'll remind you of the giftings and callings of God on your life. Pastor Easy, he's always going to mention Mark 11:22-25. Yeah. He's every time. Have the faith of God, son.
Right.
Get up and do it. Go after it. Y'all are pregnant with the things of God.
Yes.
You know that too, don't you? Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for your mercy and your goodness, God. You are good, and your love endures forever. Your anger may last for a moment, Lord, but your favor lasts a lifetime. I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. With eyes of faith, we see, God, what you've promised us coming to pass. You know, the interesting thing is some people who are pregnant in the natural realm, they go get ultrasounds and they find out what the sex of the baby is going to be, and they find out the name, and, you know, they determine the name and everything, and they get the room the right color and everything like that. But some people want to wait, you know, and they have that cake party and the little envelope with the name in it and everything, and the color of the cake on the inside of the frosting tells if it's a boy or a girl. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. And some of y'all are like that. You don't know yet what it is, but you know. You know you're pregnant with something. It ain't got a name just yet. It does not have a name just yet. You don't know exactly the full nature of it, but let me tell you something. It's awesome. It's awesome. Thank you, Father. We bless you, God. I thank you for everyone in this room. God, thank you for Pastor Lena calling me earlier this week and just putting it out there, saying, do you want to preach? Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Lord, I honor Pastors Easy and Lena. They're amazing. Pastor Allen, amazing people. Cammie, all these people. Kirk and everybody in this room. Izzy, everybody. Sabata, Courtney, Christy. Thank you, Jesus. Chris, everybody. You know, the interesting thing is when Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was in prayer and he had the vision, it says he was fasting too. It wasn't just his alms. And it wasn't just his alms and his prayers that were sent up. I mean, the angel came and said, Cornelius. He didn't say fear not. It's the only time in the Bible I'm aware of at this point where an angel showed up to a human being and did not say first, fear not. He came to Cornelius, who was a centurion. And the first word out of his mouth was his name. God had Cornelius's number. God has our number. Amen. If you receive it, say amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.